If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 14. And I want to begin reading in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14. Very familiar, should be. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. One more verse. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. What I want to speak to today is, and see the salvation of the Lord. The instructions of the Lord for the children of Israel are given here. The instructions to Moses are given here. The Egyptians were pursuing them and had caught up to them where the children of Israel could see them coming. They cried unto the Lord. It's in verse 10. Why? Because they were sore afraid. Then, verse 11, they started fussing at Moses. They started fussing, complaining, accusing God's man. Why bring us to this wilderness? You brought us out here to die. I'm paraphrasing. We told you to leave us alone. Back when we were in Egypt. And now you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. It would be better to be slaves in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. Well, they were wrong. They were wrong. Because no, it's not. It's always better to be with the people of God no matter where they are. Amen. Even in affliction and in pain, it's better to be with the people of God than be a slave of the world.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. There is no hope in the world. There was no hope for Israel in Egypt outside of God. There's nothing but hope with the children of God, because they have a hope that lives, a hope that breathes, a hope that takes care of them, a hope that brought them to this very spot. There is a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, and we know why. Because God said, I'm going to make a difference. There's no difference naturally. There's never been a difference naturally between the people on this planet. But there is a difference spiritually if God makes one. And only if God makes one. There is a difference between believers and unbelievers. And it is God that maketh thee to differ. It's not natural, but it's nonetheless real. It's spiritual. But there are those who are told to see the salvation of the Lord. And there are those who are not. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it is here in Exodus. Moses said unto the people, in verse 13 at the beginning, because this is to whom the message was sent. It was sent to the people of God. And I'm going to keep saying this till everybody gets really tired of it. There was no message for the Egyptians. Now, in this message for the people, there is a message about the Egyptians. But that ain't the same thing as a message to the Egyptians. God talks to his people. He doesn't talk to the Egyptians. God sent Moses to his people. He sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go. Again, not a request. No messages were sent to the Egyptians. Why? Because there is no message for the Egyptians. There are messages about them. Like I said, one in this verse. But I don't really think sometimes we realize exactly how terrible that is. Earl used to say it. I remember it quite well. That this book here, unless the Spirit of God has done something for you, to you, in you, and He is in you. This Bible is a closed book to a lot of people. It used to be a closed book to me. I remember it, but then sometimes I forget it. Because I can't open it now without seeing something. Even if it's something I already know, I can read it again and I can rejoice. And I'm happy. Why? Because it is good news for me. It is good news for those who believe. But to these Egyptians, there wasn't any good news. There was exactly the opposite. It is a closed book to some, and that is a terrible thing. But the message starts off with three words: fear ye not. These are the words of the Lord. Why did Moses speak these three words? Well, evidently, thus saith the Lord. And the reason the Lord picked these three words is they were sore afraid. There are times we're afraid. And we shouldn't be. We should never be afraid. We are. But there's no reason ever for a child of God to live in fear. Okay? I remember reading a story in, it was high school, 11th grade, I think. It's an English class I took. And I don't really remember what it was about other than there was a bear involved. And the teacher asked us at the end of the short story, he said, "What's the meaning of this short story?" And we all guessed wrong, of course, because we were kids and we were dumb. We didn't know anything. So he told us, and he was right. The message of that story was, it was about a bear after some guy, and then he faced the bear and he lived through it, and actually, the bear did too, okay? That's not important. The message was important. It said, be scared, but don't be afraid. There's a difference between being scared and being afraid. We are not to live in fear. God brought these people right here.
Right.
Now, sure, they were there. There were Egyptians behind them. There were mountains on the side of them. And the Red Sea in front of them. They had nowhere to go. But they had forgotten the one who had brought them there. They cried out to him. And didn't wait for an answer. They started railing on his man for bringing him there.
Yeah.
We are not to be afraid because we know who is running this whole show, this whole world. God is sovereign over people. God is sovereign over circumstances. God is sovereign over nations. God is sovereign over rulers. God is sovereign over all. We are exactly where we're supposed to be right now. He's put us here. And He's put you wherever you are. Now that does not mean that circumstances will not affect you. They will. And sometimes you might be scared. But fear ye not. Fear ye not. The Lord said to His people, fear ye not. It's always personal.
Yeah.
It's always personal. It's always individual. Paul explained it this way. I'm not going to turn there because I'm just going to read this one phrase. In Romans 8, he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Now, I understand, and I'll be perfectly clear. This is a rhetorical statement. You don't have to answer it. So I will. Well, that's the way it is. I like answering rhetorical statements. Because sometimes I figure some people miss them. Not necessarily you people here, but maybe somebody else listening. Because of this point, if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Fear ye not. If God be for you, no one of any real consequence is against you. Whether it's a ruler or a nation or the police force or whatever. Fear ye not. If God be for you, no one who really matters is against you. Fear ye not. But do let me be clear about this. There are those who are not with Him and are against Him. He did tell us, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Even if the world hate you, fear ye not. They tried to kill Him before His hour. Tried to stone Him. Tried to throw Him off of a hill. Tried to stone Him again. These Egyptians were here to kill. This wasn't a picnic they were out on. This was Pharaoh's army. Fear ye not. That's the words of the Lord to the people of God. Fear ye not. I brought thee here and I am with thee. Here. Right here. Right in the middle of this. I'm here. They had the pillar of fire. They had the cloud. It was a light to them. It was darkness to the Egyptians. So what? That they didn't even meet in the night. But even in the midst of that, we can be afraid. We can be afraid. We're good. I mean, you know, we're bad. We're good at breaking things and we're good at being afraid. Fear ye not. I have brought thee here and I am with thee here. The next thing he says is stand still. How are we to manifest this fearing not? Stand still. Stand still. Now both of these are commands, not requests. These are all commands. God doesn't make requests. God doesn't ask you how you feel. He knows how you feel and tells you not to feel that way. Fear you not. But he says stand still. Why? We are to stand. We are to stand. Put on the whole armor of God. What? That you might stand. And therefore, stand. But here he says, Stand still. Stand still. You are standing, okay? We're not to be in fear. The Red Sea in the front, the mountains beside, and the Egyptians are behind. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. Stand here. Stand here. Surrounded. No way of escape. No way of running away. No place to hide. And enemies right behind you. Stand. And stand still. Stand still. God doesn't need us to do anything for Him. He never has. And He never will. He will have us to do things. But that's mostly for our benefit. He doesn't need our help. He's never needed our help. Stand and stand still. And stand still right where He put you. They were where they needed to be. They were where they were supposed to be. And God had a message for them. First, fear not. Second, stand still. This has to be the word of the Lord. Because this goes completely against human nature. Okay? I mean, I do remember Henry Mahan from that message, one of those messages we heard. He was preaching on this or mentioning this, and he said, you know, there was some guy in the back saying, if there's anything we should do, it's not stand still. There's always somebody. Human nature, I wrote this down because I remember it and I like it. Human nature says this: when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. That's our answer to being in danger. That's our answer. It's not God's answer. God says stand still. He doesn't need you to run. He doesn't need your hands. He doesn't need your feet. He doesn't need your mouth. You just stand still and fear not. Because that's basically our reaction to danger is, A, the flesh wants to run, to fight, or to hide. And sometimes a combination of the three. The answer is none of the above. God says stand still. We are not to be paralyzed by fear. Or curl up in a ball. What they call the fetal position. We are to stand still. Because only when standing still can we actually possibly get a proper view of His work. Yeah, there's a reason He's wanting you to fear you not and stand still. We can't do anything anyway. You know, somebody always says, what? Can't we do something? What can you do? What can you do when the salvation of God is involved? Absolutely nothing. Except fear not and stand still. There's a fear. There's a reason to fear without Him. But with Him, there is no reason to fear. Because if we don't see this, if we don't see that we can't do anything anyway, we can't run, we can't fight, and we can't hide. If we don't see that, and we don't see that God put us here, we won't stand still. You won't stand still. If you think you got a place to go, you'll go. Whether you do or not. If you think you got a place to hide, you'll hide. And if you think you can fight, you'll fight. Peter had the right answer. When the Lord asked him, will ye also go away? Peter's answer was, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I got nowhere else to go. If you don't know that, you won't stand still. And you'll fear. But God put them here where they couldn't hide, where they there was no way they could put up a fight. And they couldn't run.
Yeah.
Why? And see the salvation of the Lord. Fear you not, stand still, and all three of these together. You got to have all three together. See the salvation of the Lord. We are to stand still in sureness of a victory that is not of our making. We must stand still in order to see the salvation of the Lord. The word is see. The word is not help. Okay? The word does not help the salvation of the Lord. The word does not cooperate with the salvation of the Lord. The word does not even participate in the salvation of the Lord. We do have a part, but that comes later. We'll get to it. We'll get to it, hopefully. Our part comes later. C.H. McIntosh wrote this, and I copied it. So I'm going to read it to you. Because I like what he says here about see the salvation of the Lord. This is his words. There is a peculiar force and beauty in the expression, see the salvation of God. The very fact of our being called to see God's salvation proves that the salvation is a complete one. It teaches that salvation is a thing wrought out and revealed by God to be seen and enjoyed by us. I like that. I like that. It is not a thing made up of partly God's doing and partly of man's. Were it so, it would not be called God's salvation. In order to be His, it must be holy, completely, divested of everything pertaining to man. Stand still. The only possible effect of human efforts is to raise a dust which obscures the view of God's salvation. And that's what the world around us is doing. They are obscuring God's salvation. Why? Because they don't believe it's God's salvation. It's not the salvation of the Lord. I agree with what he said. I do. God's salvation is complete. The question is, do you see it? Do you see it? At best, we would get in the way. That's our best. The salvation of the Lord is not only completely wrought by the Lord, but I also like this point what he brought out, that it is only revealed by the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still, and see. That message didn't go to the Egyptians. That message doesn't go to the world. That message is only for those who fear ye not and stand still. It is to be seen. It is seen by everyone who is born from above. Walter says they see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is entered by everyone born of the water and the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this. The salvation of the Lord is just as complete and just as perfect as his kingdom.
Right.
Because you enter the kingdom by his work. Being born from above. Being born of the water and the Spirit. The Lord says, see the salvation of the Lord. Now, it's easy to come up with that revelation thing. Because how does anyone see the salvation of the Lord? Well, he tells you. Right after, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. Okay? How do you see it? Well, he's going to show it to you. If he don't show it to you, you ain't going to see it. If he does show it to you, you'll see it. And he's going to show it to you today. Right here in this place where we are. Fear ye not. Ye stand still and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Because why? Because he's going to show it to you today. If you got anywhere else to go, you might as well go. If you got anything else to do, you might as well do it. But today, I'm going to show you the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not. Stand still and see. They had nowhere to go. They had no way to get there. These people were stuck. And they had been stuck by God.
Right.
For this purpose. To see the salvation of the Lord today.
Right.
Today. We teach this and preach this and talk about this and people think we're making it up. They think we've got some new doctrine. They think that God's sovereignty is a new thing. No, it's as old as the Bible, and even older. It's as old as creation. It's eternal in the mind of God and the Son and the Spirit. This is nothing new. But one day it becomes new to you.
Right.
It becomes new to you. This is eternal. This is ancient. This is old doctrine. We drive past a church and Princeton says, we preach apostolic doctrine. And every time I drive by it with Debbie, I say, I doubt it. Matter of fact, I can pretty much bet against it. Because this is the apostolic doctrine. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Because if he doesn't show you, you will never see it. This is the work of God. Christ told some people that ye believe on him whom the Father has sent. Wait a minute. You're saying it's the work of God that we believe? Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Most commentators don't tell you that part. Most preachers don't use it that way. They said, what must we do to do the works of God? God's got to work in you first.
Right. Amen.
Fear ye not, stand still and see. And he'll show it to you today. It takes the work of God to see the salvation of the Lord. And if he shows it to you today, you'll see it today. And then the message about the Egyptians, those Egyptians that you've seen, you will see no more forever. God puts up with a lot for a time. For a time. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. But he does put up with a lot from the wicked for his time. But when his time's up, so is theirs.
Right.
These Egyptians you see, you ain't going to see them no more. God's going to kill them.
Right.
And I read that last verse, those last two verses. What was the purpose of the death of those Egyptians? He could have closed the sea behind them before they ever got on the water. But he didn't. He emboldened them to go.
Right.
He hardened their heart to chase after the people of God.
Right.
And guess what? He got honor from that.
Right.
He gets honor from the salvation of his people, and he gets honor from the destruction of his enemies.
That's right.
These Egyptians are going to be seen no more forever.
Yeah.
And guess what? However many thousand years ago, we're still talking about it. Still talking about it. Why? See the salvation of the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will recompense. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And he does.
He does.
In his own time. What are we to do? Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 14 explains it. The Lord shall fight for you. Guess what? This is a part of the salvation of the Lord. He'll fight for you. How can we not fear? He'll fight for you.
Yeah.
How can we stand still? He'll fight for you. For you. Not for them. For you. Take heart.
Amen.
Take heart. The Lord fights for you. The Lord fought for Stephen even when he was being stoned. Stephen saw him standing. Now Stephen ended up dead, stoned. Saul was there consenting unto his death. But the Lord fought for him and brought him home. Whether you end up dead or whether they end up dead, God gets the honor both ways. And you get the reward. He'll fight for you. See his salvation. He fights for you. See his love. He fights for you. See his compassion. He fights for you. And see his sovereign grace. He fights for you. And I can't leave this one out. He shall hold your peace. Shut up. That's what it is. Hold your peace. Don't be crying out to me being so afraid. And don't badmouth my man that sent you the message that got you here where I wanted you. I brought you here. He's just the one I told to tell you some things. Hold your peace. He heard their cries in Egypt and he had regard for them. He had respect unto them. He heard their cries in the wilderness and their railing, complaining against his man. And now he says, hold your peace. They don't, if you read on in the story. But that's the point here. There's a time to shut up. And keep your doubts to yourself. Now there's a time not to. But here, when you're in the midst of a battle, there's a time to shut up, stand still, and see the salvation of God. Why? He's going to fight for you. Hold your peace. There's no reason for fear. The other expression is be silent. Because it's easier to hear when your mouth ain't talking. Okay? I read something the other day and I got tickled at it again. I told Debbie about it. I'm not worried about the voices in my head. I'm worried about the voices in yours. Okay? There's a time for me to be silent too.
Sure.
But there's also a time for y'all to be silent. There's a time for everyone to be silent. Why? See the salvation of the Lord, which he's going to show to you today. I will fight for you.
Yeah.
Hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore Christ unto me, speak unto the children of Israel. What? Here's our part.
Yeah.
They go forward. That they go forward. Here's the message. Stand still. Well, excuse me. Fear ye not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. I like that. I do. He's going to show it to you today. He's going to fight for you. Be silent. What? And go forward. Go forward. You don't go backwards. God never told anyone to go backwards. Christ actually had a couple of admonitions for some. If you look back, you got no part. We're going forward. We're going forward. We're not going backwards. We're going forwards. So what are we to do? People ask. People are curious. We go forward. We go forward. Only after you fear not, after standing still, after seeing the salvation of the Lord, then you get the instruction. Be silent and go forward.
Right. Yeah.
That they go forward. That's God's way. Is always forward. That's God's path. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way.
Yeah.
You're going forward. There's no place of turning in His way.
Yeah.
Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. And the instruction is to go forward. But with that instruction is also given the provision of grace. Told Moses, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. They are told to go forward by the Lord, and the Lord makes a way for them to go forward. If you're going forward, it's only because He's made the way.
Right.
They still got the Egyptians behind them. They still got the mountains on the side of them. The Red Sea's in front of them. But Moses lifted up his rod and stretched forth his hand, and that sea divided. And it says, the children of Israel go forward on dry ground. They go forward, but they go forward on dry ground. They are not contaminated by the sea around them. They're not touched. And I believe I see something here, if I can... I kind of know what Earl used to say, Walter. I want to know if I can relate this. Because Moses is shown here as the deliverer, with his rod up and his hand out, dividing that sea. Okay? This is not Moses as the law. The law hadn't yet been given. Moses as a type of Christ, as the deliverer of the children of Israel, all the congregation of Israel. He's the deliverer. What happens? That sea divides. And they go down. But they go down on dry ground. That sea's not touching them. Separate them. But walls, it says. They go through the sea. They're in the sea. But they're not of the sea. Now you know that. I forgot the chapter in Revelations where it says the beast comes out of the sea. And I know you've heard it as well as I have. You know, everybody always says, well, the sea is a picture of people. Multitudes. Multitudes of nation, multitudes of people. And the beast comes out of it. That means he's a person. Okay? This sea is divided. There's a division between the people of this world and the congregation of Israel here. And there's a division between the people of God, all believers of all time, and the world. The sea. It's there. It's on all both sides of us. And we've got to go through it. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. They were in the sea, but they weren't part of that sea. They went through dry. Dry. Why? Because of God's power. And they went straight forward, and they went straight through to the other side. Paul states that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. They were in that sea, but they were not of that sea. Because the deliverer made a division.
Right.
It says he divided the sea. Christ said when he came, I came to bring division.
Sure. Right.
I came to bring a sharp sword. I came for that purpose. We go through this world only by the power of God, kept by His power, propelled forward by His power through the way He has made for us. See the salvation of the Lord and go forward. That sea will not touch us unless He wishes it to. Nothing can harm His people.
Right.
Nothing can stop His purpose.
Right.
They're going through. They're going through. There are multitudes all around us, but we are separated from them. We go forward and they stay exactly where they are. And those that try to follow us get exactly what they deserve. There are those who pretend Christianity. Pretend to be believers. Some of them know they're doing it. Some of them are sincere. There are those that are going to approach our Lord and say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in Thy name, do many wonderful works in Thy name? And our Lord Christ Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. There's a total separation from the people of God and the sea. They went through on dry ground. They weren't even damp. You know? They weren't even damp. There's a total separation. And this foundation stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. We go through their midst, and I'll tell you this, they don't get it. They don't know. They might know you're a little odd. They might think you're a little different. All we can do is preach the word and tell them why we're here. We're here because we have seen the salvation of the Lord. And I hope they see it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful work of salvation through your Son, your Spirit, and your gift to us. Thank you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Joe.